All right, so a couple things today. We wanted to cover some cool, interesting stuff happened this last week, and then make crazy offers. I know we say that all the time, but make crazy offers.
I don't think
So
people understand what we mean when we say make crazy offers. What is a crazy offer?
a crazy offer, and this is so funny. I can make 10 crazy offers that are all wins. Whether that's a down payment, seller financing, an option, long-term debt, 50% down, 50% in the dollar cash. I mean, and then I can change the terms, whether it's a 5-year balloon, 10-year balloon. I can make all these different crazy offers and they're all going to be a win. So
I guess it's
people.
whatever you can get the person to agree to, no matter how ridiculous you think it is.
Yep. And the biggest thing is figuring out what their problem is. So all of our sellers have a problem. It might not be considered like what normal house sellers their problems are, but it's a different type of problem. So sometimes it's cash flow, sometimes it's cash, sometimes it's land for our sellers. So let's go through those. So sometimes people need a cash urgency, just like house sellers. They have a vacation, or they want to liquidate their property, or they want to do whatever they're going to do with the money. So they have a cash need, right? And then the others might be a cash flow need. So a lot of our sellers, they would prefer cash flow, and they have a liquid asset, so they want cash flow over long period of time, and
Let me know.
that's one thing they could they're looking for. And then the other thing is their land. They can liquidate their land. So remember, land is very illiquid, so they have a pain or something that they need to get rid of. So if you figure out what the pain is, you can make a creative offer based on their pain.
All right, so let me give you an example. I don't necessarily know that this guy was in pain, but let me give you guys some clues, okay? I saw this property that I really wanted. If anybody knows, I own a little car dealership on the south side of San Antonio. I have it leased out right now. If you're on that highway, there's like 70,000 cars passing per day. It's in an area called Von Army. It's between Loop 410 and 16, Loop 1604 in San Antonio. So it's like southwest side. It's still inside the city, right? If it's inside 1604, I might consider that in the city. Outside the city. If you go just south of there, you hit 1604. You head east about a mile. There's a property that lays long ways along Loop 1604, which is the main loop that goes around San Antonio, right? And this area is still off farms. So it hasn't even been developed, like commercially developed yet. Like, there should be all movie theaters there. If you're in another city, this is like one of the main loops that where it's just jam-packed with development and industry. I called the guy, man, had it be 4 years ago or something. There was a sign, a white sign with black letters. I called it, and the guy says he wanted $4 million for that property. So, I always had it in mind. I said, man, sooner or later, I'm gonna make enough paper and I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna get this property. Nobody's gonna buy it before me. I'm gonna be the first one to start developing on this side of town, right? And it's because it's all farm. So I'm like, this is my area. I'm gonna blow it up. Watch. So I'm starting to see more and more developments happening, like look at dentist office, just little stuff going up. Nothing too major yet. Nothing big time commercial like KFC or Burger King, nothing like that. It's just regular little, like mom and pop stuff. So I was driving by there the other day to look at another property with Michael Flores, and I just said, let me just call this guy real quick, just check in on this guy. Check my I hadn't texted him since like a year ago, since like last March. And as soon as I called him, I remember one thing. He would ramble on. He would just keep talking and talking and talking, telling me how amazing the property is, and all this stuff's coming in the area and how things are blowing up over there. So he was pretty much trying to sell me the property. So when I called him, I said, congratulations, just thinking about it, because this guy, he's kind of long-winded. So the guy just starts talking about how great the property is in the area, and he's like telling me, like, I'm sure you've seen all of the developments happening around here and just going on. And I'm listening and asking questions and just letting him talk. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, if this, as much as this guy's talking, maybe he needs the cash, because if everybody that called this sign and he talks to them all for 30 minutes or an hour, he's really trying to sell this property, right? So no indication other of motivation other than him just being convincing of talking about the property. So it's like right at a four-way intersection on Loop 1604, right? So it's like one of the only corners when you're coming from I-35. So big time, like, area. This area's gonna pop someday. Has tons of road frontage. So he finally said, yeah, and I would consider selling that corner 10 acres for 600,000. And now all of my alarm bells are going off in my mind. I'm like, what did this guy just say? Right? So remaining calm, not getting too excited. We're doing a 15 and a half acre tract on Loop 1604 in Converse, so maybe about 10 miles east of here. And I'm getting 15 and a half acres for $5 million on this exact same corner, exact same spot, 10 to 15 miles down the road. same side of the highway inside Loop 1604. So in my mind, I'm running the math. Wait a minute, 10 acres, $600,000. That's crazy, right? That's like 10 cents on the dollar or something. So I asked the guy, I said, hey, would you consider seller financing? Oh, I've had a couple of people offer seller finance. I'm just not too sure. I mean, it's something that I might entertain. And I said, well, I'm not trying to make payments on it. I said, I paid off really quick. I said, I would give you like 100,000 down. I'd give you 100,000 in 6 months and then 100,000 in a year, like every 6 months until I pay it off. And the first thing he said was, well, that offer is a lot better than what the other guy was going to offer. Done. We sent him a contract today. He said, I'm going to have my attorney review it. And it's on. It looks like we're about to contract the best part of this property with $100,000. So imagine taking control of the best part of a property on a $4 million ranch for 100 grand. I was honestly trying to save up the 4 million so I could buy this thing or get a loan on it. Like I want the property that bad. So now to have control of the best part of the property for $100,000, like I couldn't believe he accepted it. On the phone, I'm like, I'm dying inside. I'm like, what the heck did he just agree to? And like, okay, well, I'll let you know something. I'm gonna go ahead and drop some paperwork for you to look at. And then bam, we hit him with the paperwork today. He said, I have my attorney review it. Everything sounds good, looks good. I told him, cool. As soon as I get the survey back, I can close. I said, the contract says 30 to 60 days, but I said, as soon as the contract comes back, we'll close the same day. So we have the cash. We don't need a loan or anything. So that's it. Sounds like he's in, man. I hope we get it. I've been after this property for about 5 years now. And it came to us. We were willing to pay full price for it.
So one thing I want to hint about this is that the crazy offers, you don't ever know what the crazy offer is going to be, but just make crazy offers and something will stick. And a lot of times it's figuring out what the pain point is. So I think that guy's pain point is action. There's nobody actually taking action on the property that's going to put the money where their mouth is. So I think with that alone, he's willing to sell it at that price. So if somebody's going to take action on it with $100,000 down, he's willing to make that deal.
Our lowest offer, right, is usually about 10%, right? So figure a $4 million property, we might offer the guy 400,000 down, right? If he would have took it. But since we were only talking about that one corner piece, we're only talking about 600 now, right? So that's why I hit him with the low offer. Like, hey, I'm gonna hit you with 100, boom. Maybe, and he bid on it. I was shocked. I was super shocked. And I've made some stupid offers that have got accepted. So I couldn't believe that one. But I say all that to say that even if you don't know how to make an offer, even if you're not that good at math, you're not that good at comps, just make a crazy weird offer. And every now and then, right? So a seller's gonna get mad at you. We got a voice message back like yesterday, I think one of our guys made an offer. And the agent said that offer was insulting. Well, good. If you don't hear that every so often, you're not making great offers. You're just not.
Somebody's trying to get in. There you go. All right. Sorry about that. So crazy offer. So some people need cash, some people need cash flow. We've had deals come in where they wanted a large down payment and cash flow, and that's just what they want. So you got to be creative based off what their needs are, and figuring out what they want. One thing we want to update too is that we're looking to buy, if you didn't see the post in the group, but we're looking to buy Longship properties. If they're waiting, if they wait for their price, we can get entitlements for that land to buy it. So we made an offer on earlier this week. Kyle brought a Longship property. We made an offer on that. Agent hung up on me, but it's funny. This new change with the law and the agents thing, I think is going to be funny. I think it's going to be interesting climate. I sent Anthony a tweet this morning that somebody already listed their property and they put that they're not paying a buyer's commission based off the new lawsuit that just went through. So it's going to be an interesting time to see some action. And I think it's good for us on both sides because a lot of the agents side of their point of view is like, well, now they're not incentivized to bring buyers to the transaction and all this stuff. But I think it's going to be a couple different changes because now the seller's agent is going to have to do more work to actually sell that property. And B, I think the buyer's going to have to do more work to buy the property. So I think it's good for us either way because the property is going to sit longer, in my opinion, which I think is a win-win. So up and coming updates with agents. If everybody hasn't seen the law, it's pretty funny. There's a $400 million lawsuit against the National Association of Realtors that went through this last week. So I think there's gonna be opportunity for us since we are doing MLS stuff. So you never know what's gonna happen. And I think a good shakeup like this will bring some inventory or deals to light. Good and bad. There's always a good and bad to everything that happens. So I'm excited to see what the good is.
It sounds like the only buyers are going to be investors now, really, because if an agent, why is an agent going to go out of their way to go find somebody a property and do all that work if they don't even know if they're going to be paid or not? You know, it's going to lose a lot of buyer incentive.
Well, I think the other side of it too is anybody buying is any agent that's going to represent a buyer, they're just going to ask for their commission from the buyer side, which either have to be covered in closing costs or down payments or in the loan itself. So maybe the mortgage market will adjust to it too to cover the buyer side. I have no idea. It's so fresh and new, it's going to be interesting when it happens.
Now would be a good time to train some of them to go after land and send us the deals.
Ooh. Ooh.
Start programming agents now.
Start programming them. I watched another video too where they said that if all the buyer's agents leave, they said they might lose. Like, there's the agent side is already like a failing. There's a lot of turnover, so I think they said they're expecting a big, huge loss in agents that are currently in the business get out of the business, because most every agent that is an agent has to pay their for their licenses renewals, so
Yep.
they negative cash flow,
Yep.
like we say. For being an agent, sometimes the negative cash flows. But it's an interesting time, interesting perspective. You want to tell about the other deal you got creative, Anthony?
I'm excited to know too. I'm like, what did we get? What else was there?
The 420 option.
Ooh, okay, yeah. So this is amazing, guys. Again. Make crazy offers. If you're not making crazy offers, you don't know what's going to happen. You guys make sense of this, okay? I hope everybody's listening. You guys make sense of this because I couldn't. So there's a property that's been listed for like a year and a half or almost 2 years or something, right? 400 plus acres. And it was for 2.8 million. So we sent them a full price offer, 2 million cash, closed like in 3 months or 4 months, whatever it was. They said, nope, we're too far apart. They didn't even counter. They said, we're just too far apart. Ain't going to happen. Okay, that's fine, whatever. So I knew I was going to come back in. I said, let me let them sleep on it for a little bit, and then we'll come back in with another offer. So we come back, I don't know, a couple weeks later. I said, we made another offer. Hey, we'll give you $1 million down, $1 million in 12 months, and then $1 million in another year after that. Boom, paid in full, $3 million cash. Nope, we're not interested in seller financing. Damn, again, okay, all right. I was so pissed off when they rejected that offer. I told Mike, I said, F those people, we're not going to follow up with them no more. I'm just done with these people. So as soon as I said that, I said, wait a minute. I said, offer them 500,000 for an 18-month option and we'll close in 18 months. 500,000 down for an option. No payments, no interest, no nothing. Just close in a year and a half. They countered with, hey, we'll take it, we'll do that, but we're only gonna do 14 months. That's your counter? So they don't think about the timelines. A million now, a million in a year, and then a million in the year after that. Right? So at the 1.5 year mark, they're already up like $2+ million, right? But no, they'd rather take the same period of time for 500 grand. So they just in the same time period, they just lowered their price 150,000, right, or 200,000, and they're getting $1 million less for the same time period. They just like reverse closed themselves. Like, what the hell? That was the worst offer they ever could have took, and they took it.
I don't know. It's a strange place, and you got to make crazy offers. And a lot of people, and this is the crazy, I don't know if we ever done that before, because usually our offers usually stair step up to better, better, better. But you did okay, better, worse. And they took the worst one.
I don't know what's going on, guys, but people are accepting weird stuff right now. But if you don't hit them with those crazy, strange offers, even the agent even followed up today. They haven't followed up with us once during this whole negotiation period. And today they messaged like, hey, are you guys sending a contract? Yeah, we sure are. So freaking amazing, man, to just see what people are accepting right now. Another thing we're noticing out there in the marketplace is land is not selling. Land is at a dead halt. Banks are cutting off builders, land, I mean, house money. So they're tightening up on how much money they're willing to lend. This builder was borrowing money for like 8 to 10 houses at a time. He said now the bank has them down to 2 houses at a time. That's all they're willing to lend on. So things are getting worse right now, not better. It looks like we're the only people buying out there. I mean, there's stuff just sitting there for a year, 2 years, It's just all sitting. So if you're not out there making offers and following up like a madman, you mean, I don't know what else you're doing. I don't know anybody online right now that's saying, "Hey, we just bought land. Hey, we just bought more land. Hey, we just bought more land." But it's going fast, man.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I haven't seen any movement at all. It's been crazy, man. It's been crazy, interesting year for us, as far as attraction goes. But crazy offers for the win, and keep offering creative. If anybody hasn't seen the episode, I had a meeting with Diego today, and Diego says he's been watching my $1 trillion of debt equity video. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. But I talk about how there's trillions of dollars of debt equity locked in land. That it takes someone like a deal, someone like us who does land to unlock that the equity. So, and it takes a certain set of skills. If you want to talk about taken, I have a certain set of skills.
No, people that are open, they're open to creative a lot more now. Yeah, people like if you would have made an offer 10% down on a $1 million piece of land a year ago, they would have laughed at you and hung up on you. Now they're like, "Where can I talk to you guys? Like, send me a contract. Can I see that in writing?" Like, nah, they want to negotiate. You know, now people are starting to circle back and they're starting to look at offers for real now.
Someone asked, how does the funding process work for these projects?
We just take it the deal by deal. We just look at it. We see how much cash we have to put out of pocket. The worst possible deal you guys can send us is a cash offer. If you send us a property like, "Hey, this guy wants $5 million," like, yeah, him and everybody else in the United States, probably around the globe, right? So it's up to you to go in there and get an amazing good price. If it's listed for 6 million, we're gonna offer 3 million cash, right? Or if they want the full, oh, he wants, he said he wants the full 6 million. We got one today. They want the full 6 million. They want 2 million down. No, tell them we'll give them $1 million down. That's it. Done. There's no negotiating. There's no coming back. There's no countering. Nothing. Take the million or don't. That's it. And then typically we like no payments, no interest until sold. You know, and we usually balloon them out like at 18 months or 2 years.
So Diego says it was the word non-refundable that took the human psychology at its finest for that seller.
Yep. You got to imagine how much negotiating goes on around there. As Chris Rood would say, how much pluckery, right? It's going on out there where, if somebody comes back and they're negotiating, "Hey, the option, if we don't like it in 30 days, 90 days, we get our option back, or we get our, earnest money back," and all kinds of crap. We just hit them straight up with, "Hey, the day you sign the contract, we'll give you the option money. You don't have to give it back." So if we're, and we're not giving $800 or $100 like you see on some wholesalers contracts. We always do like 50,000, 100,000, 200,000. So it's real money, you know, and they get it quick. And that's the main thing. A lot of people send earnest money to the title company, right? So the people aren't going to get that money for 6 months or a year anyway. So if you talk to them and you say, "Hey, we'll hit you with 100 grand next Tuesday," you know, that speaks to how serious we are about buying the property.
And we'll release it. And we'll release it. So, a lot of wholesalers, their strategy is to send it to the EMD to the earnest money and never let it go. And they have to have a mutual release to let it go. But if the deal's good enough, man, we'll send the money straight to them. And what we learned from experience is, a lot of time once they take the money, they're locked in and they're not going to give up on that deal. They can't. They're locked in. They already took and used that money. Jeremy says he made two offers on two large ranches, similar offers mentioned, and then anybody looking at the Panhandle properties going fast. That's Florida, right?
No, Panhandle's up in the by Amarillo, north of Amarillo. Stuff goes around there for like 2 or 3 grand an acre, so you just got to get it for like a grand. They want more than that. I mean, maybe if it's in the heart of the city, but if it's outskirts, I mean, they're just giving land away out there.
Yeah, the stuff in the rural areas. I would rather do like a novation type deal with those because the deals they just sit too long. So somebody messaged me this week and they had a deal. It was northeast of Houston, between south of Tyler, which Tyler's already kind of rural. And then if you're south of Tyler, like a good hour, there's nothing there, and it doesn't even hit the artery coming up through going to Dallas. Totally misses that artery, so it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. It seemed like it was a good price, but I was like, man, we can't do that price unless it's really cheap or we get a novation type deal with 50 to 100 grand down. So a lot of these smaller properties you can do seller financing, especially like half a million and under, with 50 to 100K down, and you should be able to get it like a 6 to 8 month balloon pretty easily. So if you can find an arbitrage there. So I'll tell you a perfect I'll tell you like a good little deal scenario to keep an eye out for. So let's say you have like, you have, let's say 30 acres for 300. If you can sell 30 acres for 15K an acre versus 10K an acre, if you cut it up in 10 acre lots, look for opportunities like that. So 300K to get into the deal, we might offer 100, 150 grand down or 50K down, whatever is needed to get into that deal. And then you can maximize your ROI by essentially selling it for 5K more per acre. So there's 150 grand in there based off of you putting in 50 to 100 grand in there. So if you can leverage some type of seller financing with a short balloon, if you know you can move that inventory pretty quickly in those areas, especially up and coming, you can do some good little partner novation deals, which I think Angie wanted to cover that a little bit. So
I was just going to bring that up. If you could, so are you talking about, and I kind of missed, if you were implying there was a novation, the deal you just gave an example, I think I missed that. So I'd love to see just a, or hear a couple examples of novations you
yeah.
guys.
Yeah. So a novation can come in any many different forms, which I kind of mentioned earlier. It can come in many different offers. So a novation is essentially, it's like a form of a partnership where they hold the property till it sells. So it's a big thing people are doing with houses, but you can get into properties with, and this is one of the things that even I would consider Anthony's 420 deal with a 500K down. I would consider that a novation. Because technically, we're getting a 14-month novation with 500K down. Right, Anthony? It's a form of a novation.
Yeah, but when you say novation, there's like that legal connotation, right? There's a proper way to set up the paperwork and all that crap. We're just saying like in general terms, it's probably more of a partnership with the seller.
It's more of a
Like,
partnership novation. So that one's, we used an option contract to do, to bring full retail market with $500,000 the down payment. So it's a way to take control of a property with a small amount of money to take and sell to the retail market. And usually with us for that deal, we're actually entitling it to make it worth more money. If we're doing a small flip, you might take control for 10 to 75 grand or 100 grand and then list the property and then take your spread on the back end. So there's different forms of types you can kind of work in and do a lot of different ways.
yeah, so I want you guys to think about something, right? Let's completely reframe your thinking. As a real estate investor, whether you're brand new or seasoned, in your mind, you're imagining you're a buyer and you're dealing with sellers, right? That's the posturing. But if you think about it, we're not actually buyers at all. All we are is we're lenders. We're coming in and we're giving the person a little bit of money while they let us improve the property to get them their full asking price. So that's why we refer to it like as a novation, right? A novation means that you find somebody who has a house, they do want to sell it, but the house is it's needs a lot of work, right? So what you do is you have the seller agree, say, hey, look, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to come in here. I'm going to put all the money in to make the house really, really nice. We're going to sell it together. You're going to get your full price, and I'm going to keep the rest. So that's all we're doing. So when you're talking to these sellers, knowing that you have access to the capital, you're not coming in as the buyer. You're coming in and saying, hey, I'm a problem fixer. And your big property that nobody's ever going to come by because that sign's been out in front for 5 years. Nobody's coming to save you. Here's what we can do. I can get you your full price of asking, but it's going to take me a couple of years. And just so you know how serious I am, I'm willing to write you a big check up front while you let me do what I'm good at. I'm the professional here. I'm the doctor. I'm not a buyer. That's pretty much it.
You want to talk about that, the China property again real quick? So I think that one's like a form of innovation too.
Yeah, that was one of my first deals. All we did was I got a call from a seller. It was from a Google lead, and it was inbound. It came in like at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. The lady was in China. She was actually a school teacher in China, but she lived here in Fort Worth her whole life, south of Fort Worth. So after like talking to her for a long time, I thought I couldn't afford the property. So I was like, well, I'm not gonna be able to buy it anyway. No big deal. We're just having fun, just talking, laughing. And just literally like this is not a deal, so I'm not tripping anyway, whatever. She was just cool to talk to, and we're just kind of BSing. And then she said the property was on I-35, so I said, wait a minute. I started like mathing it out. The property's on I-35. I said, that actually sounds like a really good price. So I told her, I said, look, property needs a lot of work. I drove and saw it. Actually, I drove like 3 and a half hours to see it. And I said, the property, like the grass has not been cut in 10 years. Right. There's like junk cars in there. Like it was a wreck. And I told the lady, I said, hey, the property needs a lot of work. I'm willing to put the work into it, right, to make it nice and everything. I said, but I don't have the cash to just give you up front. I said, what I could do is I can go in there and I can help make the property better, clean it up, make it nicer, and then I can help you move it. And then maybe I could split it up. I told her, even if I could sell all of the property and just keep the commercial side on 35 and just have just that and nothing else, and I make no money. I told her, I'm willing to do that. And I said, so I bet you don't need all of the money right now. Like, you don't have gambling debt or something you need to cover, right? She's like, no. So I said, how much do you need right now to put in your pocket just so you're good for a little while I do what I have to do to make the property worth more money so we can get rid of it and get you your money? And she said, if I had $10,000 right now, all my problems go away. Boom. Handed me over a 46-acre farm for 10,000 bucks. I gave her the 10 grand, put it in my name. She had a lien position on it. I came in, cleaned it up, threw it on the MLS, and it was sold like in 45 days or something. Made 85 grand cash.
So that's like a that's another form of novation. All you're doing is giving them some type of security, whatever you're solving that initial problem of liquidity in their pocket with 10 to 50,000, depends on the seller, whatever their need is. That's where you got to understand what their need is, and then you just list it on the MLS and you take over their property. Super great strategy. We've used versions of it, and we're trying to dig into more of these with these entitlements, because a lot of these sellers, they want high pricing, and it might be worth it once it's entitled, but we have to entitle the property. So, hey, you hold on to the property. We're gonna value add it through entitlement. You hold on to it, and then we'll pay you off whenever it's done. So it's another form of novation, just take kind of taking control of the property with whatever type of EMD option or some type of seller finance, just take over the property to bring it to fruition to get their pricing.
Yeah, so let's say, oh, somebody
So,
had a question. Yeah, go ahead.
Angie. Well, I'm just curious, like you said that the property was transferred to your name. Can you talk a little bit about, like, so you actually went through a closing and you didn't pay her any money for like 10,000 bucks. So you gave her 10,000 bucks and it transferred to your name. And then contractually, how did that work? Because obviously, you agreed to a much higher price. Just what's that? I'm just kind of curious how that, I don't
She
know.
got a deed of trust for the balance. So it's just like I gave her a $10,000 down payment. I
Okay.
become the owner. She becomes the bank. And the deed of trust shows that I still owe her the remaining balance on the property.
And then we took it to the MLS and sold them in the MLS. So whenever we got paid, she got poured the portion of the bank portion, just like a loan. She got paid off completely, and then we got the portion of the rest. And she's happy, we're happy, and she got money in her pocket day one. And we got the deed to the property sold on the MLS without flexibility and disclosure and all that stuff, because we disclosed up front what we're gonna do. So she was okay with it from day one.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yep, and if you think about that, guys, how many people are out there that have no way to improve the property? They don't have the knowledge, the skill set, the time, the capital. So you're bringing a lot of value to the table, right? There's a lot that we bring to the table. So don't think for a second that we're taking advantage of grandma, right? Without us, she's gonna end up having to liquidate for pennies on the dollar. This is something that Daniel and myself, we really live by. We pretty much try to give everybody their full asking price. If you go to another mastermind, they say, hey, anchor them with a really low insulting offer. And then, that'll make them think it's worth less. Then you get the property for nothing.
And
Like,
then a week before it closed, after you find a buyer, hit them again for another discount.
yeah, after you already found a buyer, you're already going to make profit. Then the day before closing, hit them again. Like, dude, that's a trash way to do business. And if I catch anybody doing that in our group, I'm kicking you out. That's trash.
Yeah, we've never done that before, and I never will. So don't, please don't do that.
There's no reason to try to like do shady stuff in this business. There's too much money involved.
Like I said, there's enough money to go around, and you don't have to lowball or cut off the seller just because you're gonna make an extra 5, 10 grand. It's crazy.
Okay,
Hey,
somebody's
what's up,
asking for
guys?
the
It's Matt. It's Matt Rogers.
Hit
What's up,
me.
brother?
How you guys doing? It's great to catch up with you. I haven't seen you guys for a while.
Dude, always great to hear from you, bro. We've been here.
What's that?
I said we've been here.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Anthony, on that deal you did with the lady, what kind of time frame did you agree upon with her? I'm just curious, like upfront, you gave her 10 grand, you ended up taking title, put her as a lien holder. What was the paperwork involved in terms of time frame to pay her back, kind of since she's basically financing the rest?
Dude, let me check the paperwork before I lie, right? This was like
Just
5 years
curious, like,
ago.
a year or 2 years, something like that.
I forgot the time. I forgot the time frame that we wrote it up, but we wrote up zero payment, zero interest until sold. So I don't remember if there was like a 12-month cap or a 2-year cap. I just don't remember.
This is a deal from 4 years ago.
Yeah, no.
It was a
I think,
long time ago.
yeah, I feel like maybe we've discussed this deal before at one point down the line. I was just curious, like, 1 to 2 years sounds, you know, like a reasonable amount of time for something like that, for sure. But like, yeah, you start stretching into further than that. I was just curious if it was like, you know, what the lady's response was, you know, on pushing time frames with giving 10 G's down.
Let me check the paperwork. I'll actually email you the paperwork just so we both take a look at it. I forgot how we structured it exactly, but I have my attorney structured up. And typically now what we do is, yeah, we do like 18 months to 2 years is what's typical. Sometimes 3 years if it's a big property, like $5 or $6 million.
Is there a certain price point that you see that kind of like informs what that, you know, level of time is going to be on, you know, basically paying off the property? Like, you know, you start getting into $3, $4, $5 million, you know, you're going to get a little bit more grace in terms of time frame because there's bigger payments coming and probably, you know, payments every 6 months, every 3 months, something like that, versus like something that's maybe $500,000 where they're going to probably want their money within what, you know, 12 to 24 months.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So I think if there's a gross rule of thumb, I would say that, you know, something that's worth $1 million to $2 million, the max we're going to go is like 1 year to 24 months. And then now we're starting to pick up stuff for 4 and 5 million, 6 million. I'm asking for every bit of like 36 months now. We have a 15 and a half acre property locked up right now for 5 million. I'm a year into my option already, and I still have another year left. So,
and what are you finding that's like sweetening the pot when you're asking for longer time? Just like, you know, like a certain benchmarks you have to hit every 3 months or something just to put a little extra cash in their pocket to keep them quiet?
Yeah, this guy, I'm giving him 21,000 every 6 months. So that's like the 0.5% is what we're doing. So that way, as they're coming up on that, hey, instead of them just getting exhausted, wondering if you're doing anything, we can share the engineering paperwork with them, surveys, you know, just kind of update them on progress. And then I think having those regular payments, right, is kind of what keeps them in the game. Like we offer this guy down, $1 million in a year, $1 million in another year. So they're not waiting with their hands in their pockets either, like wondering if we're buying or not. And I think that's what they're afraid of is when, yeah, you give them down $500 earnest money and tell them you need 2 years to close or a year to close. It just doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
No, yeah, absolutely. So today this offer we sent out today, 600,000. I just offered 100,000 down, 100,000 in 6 months, 100,000 in six, every 6 months until he's paid out. No interest at all. No mention of interest. And he sounds like he's going to take it, man. You know, at least he's getting that regular money in his pocket. So you just got to kind of fill him out. Yeah, I think that's the main thing. And then what we try to get every single time is no payments, no interest. Like we'll just pay. We do that to our lenders. Every single lender that we have, no payments, no interest until the property sells. So we try to do that with our sellers as well. It takes the pressure off of everybody. You know, we get mentored by a lot of seasoned guys that have been doing this for a really long time, like yourself. And, you know, they always say, hey, be careful. Don't over leverage. We'll never be over leveraged because our sellers aren't getting any payments until the property sold. And typically the sellers are not getting any payments until the property sold. So it's a pretty good way to stack debt.
Anthony, that one's for 335, right? We sold it for 335.
Which one? The 46 acres?
Yeah.
It was like 300 or 320 or something.
I think it's 335 because I got the HUD.
Yeah, yeah. Then you're right. Yeah, because it was 85 net. I think she wanted like 225 or something or 220, whatever we settled on.
Yeah. There you go.
Awesome. Well, yeah, no, I appreciate the heads up on that. Just wanted to touch in and say hey and, you know, see what those timeframes look like when you're dealing with the sellers and kind of what their expectations are for, you know, the kind of price points that you're working at.
I think the main thing that we do is make a weird offer where it just sounds, you know, terrible, but it's still respectable, like a little bit of money up front, like 50 grand or something. And then let them counter, let them respond, see how they feel about it. And for the most part, I think 90, 95% of the time they say no. But then you let them stew on it for 3 months or 6 months. And then you're following up like everybody should. And eventually they get worn out. Like, hey, can we take a look at that offer? Okay, like, hey, are you guys still interested in the property? So yeah, I think first somebody makes an offer, they don't hear back, and then they, you know, they forget about it, they feel bad about it, they feel beat up. But that's just step one. Next step is keep negotiating. I've been after this property today that we're gonna get for 600 grand. I've been after it for 5 years, dude. 5 years I called the guy. Four or five years ago, I called the guy. And now we just sent out the contracts today.
That's awesome. Well, hey, the money's in the follow-up. So congrats on that. So I appreciate it, guys. I'm gonna hop off.
Thank you, bro. See you soon, man. Take care.
Yeah. So there's many different ways to do it, and there's no wrong way. And if you get used to doing deals like this, once you get a little liquid or you raise your own money, you can do these deals yourselves. This is the crazy part thing about this thing. Everything we teach you, eventually you can do yourself without us. As much as we want to JV with you, you can do this stuff yourself and figure it out. And this is stuff we use. This is the strategies we use to do little money out of pocket deals all day long, and they're everywhere.
Yeah, and then everything that we're telling you guys, like, I feel like there's a lot of other, you know, teachers out there, whatever you want to call them, and they all have their script and their books, and everybody asks us, like, why don't you guys have a script? I don't think you need a script. You need to just do the work. Just get out there and make offers, even if you don't know what you're talking about. Make the offer, see what they say. You got to come to these calls so you know how we structure our offers. Go out there, make the offers, and then see what happens. And then if you need access to capital, you have us. When we started, we didn't have two stones to rub together, you know? So just for you guys now, you have the knowledge, you have the skills, you have the capital, and we're talking to you about what's working right now. This is a terrible market. Realtors are going down. Wholesalers are going down. You know, they're all changing course, trying to sell more courses. Nobody's doing deals anymore, and we're just flying right now. This is the fastest we've ever gone. So, you know, this is the actual stuff that's really working out there right now in this market.
Yeah. Yep. Telling you, everything we're teaching you, you can do yourself and make a killing.
Hey, somebody asked about the $4 million property. What's the exit? Yeah, it's 15 and a half acres. So right now I'm just doing all the site engineering, you know, phase one, survey, master utility plan, so we can see where all the utilities run, that kind of stuff. I'm doing about 100,000, 120,000 worth of engineering on it right now, just to get it like ready. We're applying for an extra exit off of 1604 and the 1604 side. It's on the main highway. So we're getting the Texas Department of Transportation to approve a secondary access there. One in the back, we submitted a rough plan of what our shopping center might look like. And we're shopping it out to commercial entities. So I don't know if you guys have Lowe's everywhere in the United States, but it's like a home improvement warehouse like Home Depot. They're interested in maybe 8 acres or possibly all of it. We're talking to different coffee companies, restaurants, those kinds of guys. So the strategy here is you bring those commercial entities in, you create a ground lease. Right. So the ground lease says, hey, we'll rent the land from you or lease the land from you for the next 20, 25 years, 30 years. Right. And some of those leases are 10 to 20,000 a month. So you could sit on that cash flow forever, or you can immediately liquidate that note. Like the same way we create notes and then sell them at closing to pay for the property. You would create a ground lease and then sell it at closing, give the seller his money and take the rest. And a typical ground lease can sell for $1 million to like $1.5 million per acre. So that's what we're working on doing on that one.
A ground lease is a triple net or double net lease. 100%, Marvin. Those deals are, we're trying to do our first one on this deal, but we'll see how it goes. But I have a guy in my network that I met in Atlanta when I was living there. He does this for grocery stores. And he said the grocery store lease is $50,000 a month.
Jeez. Imagine sitting on that cash flow for the rest of your life for just one deal you did 50 years ago.
So I want, this is why I love land, and land is the best game. Like, that's a lot of houses.
You ain't never going to build up $50,000 a month in cash flow on houses. It's just never going to happen. It's probably going to take 40 years or 50 years to get there.
Yeah, and he owns a couple grocery stores, and he doesn't manage the grocery stores either. This is just the lease on the land that the grocery store sits on.
So imagine this piece of land. Let's say we create 8 leases on it, or 10 leases on it, or 12 leases on it, times $20,000 each, and then you're making $400,000 or $500,000 a month for the rest of your life. So I mean, it's just a fun game to play. And if you don't know how to play it, you just stick with it, stay in it, stay around it, come to these calls. We're like, I think the only thing that makes Daniel and myself like Hivemind interesting above like what other people are doing is we're not in love with one strategy. Like, oh, we only do self storage, we only do multifamily. All we do is we're looking for deals that give us back the most amount of cash for our time and our investment of capital, and that's it. So come a year from now, our strategy might be completely different. Like right now, we're looking for neighborhoods to start throwing in houses, you know? So we're always evolving. We're always looking for a bigger game. You know, we're not married to the strategy. Like how much capital can I put in and what kind of return can I get in the shortest amount of time possible? And that's all we really care about. And we're going to continue to evolve, and we hope you guys evolve with us.
So we're towards the end of the call. I want to cover this too. We're looking for development opportunities that are already approved. We think we already got two on the hook, and I think we posted about that a week ago. One, and these are people that have developments already approved. One guy ran out of money, so he has like there's like 30 lots available to build on, and only 10 are there. Or I think it's like, so we're looking to buy into that project right now. Essentially, no money into the deal. You want to talk about that a little bit, Anthony?
Which one?
You walk into the development with 30 houses left to build.
I was going to respond to Kyle by text, but I'm just going to just say real quick. Kyle's like, you would need to be a hedge fund to get that kind of cash flow. We already have all our paperwork set up for a fund. Like, we could launch tomorrow if we wanted to. We already have it all lawyered up. Spend about $30,000. Our main investor wants to put in 20 million. And then as soon as we place all of that one, he's going to put in another 20 million. He doesn't want to go directly into the fund. He just wants to buy one property at a time with us, but he's prepared to go in about 40 million. So the fund is there. It's already set up. It's just on pause right now until we find some stupid money, like IRA money or something like that. But yeah, we are setting up to become a fund, and we're going to start working on the nodes and leveraging the nodes. And eventually where we're headed is we're going to just be sitting on a lot of mortgages, like a lot of notes, and then we're going to be the lender for the Hivemind people that understand our strategies and know them. And then we'll just deploy that capital to them so that they can go out and duplicate what we're doing. Oh, you mean from single family homes? Yeah, it's never going to happen. Yeah, you'd have to raise $1 billion, to go out and buy a whole neighborhood. And then we're going to do that to the build to rent model. So right now we're selling empty lots. So eventually, yeah, we're going to throw up 180 houses, 600 houses, and then just sit on as many as we can and just keep them.
I am looking to do deals in Georgia, 100%. If you got deals in Georgia, let me look at them. We're looking to do deals out of state because as this thing gets bigger, we're looking to start testing our waters in other states. I know people that do the subdivide model in Georgia and Alabama, so I know it works out there too.
Yeah, we know some guys that are doing some big land deals in Georgia too. We have never really done anything there, but the offer is the offer, guys. That's again, like I just said it right now. Who cares about the asset class,
And
right?
where
Or
it
the
is.
strategy? It doesn't matter what it is. How can we get the most amount of return for the smallest amount of capital, right? And that's where our mind goes. So I guess as long as it's red states only, we're not going to play in blue states. And California might be an exception because Daniel lives there. We have a big network there. But yeah, for the most part, red states. Land. Again, what we don't want to do is go in there and drop 5 or 10 million on one property. We'd rather put $100,000 or $200,000 down on 10 properties instead of just putting it all into one spot. So, if you guys find a lot that's worth 5 million or 10 million, then negotiate like 500,000 down, a million down, for the right deal. Because we don't want to park a million and then not get paid for 2 years, right? So that's the thing is, we're looking for quick in and outs.
Yeah.
I got one.
Go ahead, Marvin.
You guys hear me? I mentioned the one in like 15 minutes from Nashville, Tennessee. It's about over 500 acres, and I followed up with the seller a few days ago. He said it's still
How far from
available.
Nashville?
It's like 15 minutes from downtown Nashville.
What's the price per acre?
He's asking 30, right around 30K per acre.
It's a deal, but let's try to work something out, some kind of terms. But that's a deal with that price. That's a sick ass property. I like Nashville a lot.
Yeah, he said he's like literally surrounded by country singers, celebrities.
Yeah, I believe it, man. That Nashville's super, super hot. I would love to get a deal around there.
Yeah. Cool.
Think we have two people talking.
You guys want to let's try to set up a call this week with them?
Yes.
Hey guys, I know too, a lot of you guys are pinging us left and right. There's a lot of people on our team you can also reach out to, like Mike Flores, Andrew. There's a handful of people that work with us daily, all day. So if you can't get a hold of Daniel or myself, just keep following up with us. I'm sorry. We're going through stuff as quick as we can. You know what to do on your side, right? The worst thing you can do is blow us up about a cold lead. All right, if you know what to do, you know what to say. You come to the Tuesday calls, make your offer, go out, pitch your offer. Even if they shoot you down, who cares? Go make the crazy offer, see what they say. We can always come back in and negotiate. They're always going to say no the first time anyway.
For instance, today we had, I made a tweet today because people always tweet like, oh, I spent $4,000 and I got 30 leads. I think we got 13 leads today in our website with no ad spend. So, and that's just our website. Like I got probably five DMs today, and I don't know how many Anthony got, but it's getting crazy.
But FYI, guys, with that being said, the people that are in this room that step up, you understand how we make offers and you get really good at it, we'll start pushing those leads to you. So just by you participating, learning, digging in, helping, we can start putting you on an overflow list where you'll just get a text message and here's the lead, start working it. But you got to know how to make the offers. You got to know how we set up our structure. You got to know what kind of properties we like. And we would love for you guys to step up and start helping us comb through these leads and give you a piece of the deal.
Yeah, I had a meeting with Diego, and Diego said he sold four properties in like the last 45 to 60 days. And he's like, man, but just with the end of this, it's getting pretty good. I was like, it's only going to get better. Junior said he got three leads today. No, it's pretty good, man. We're working on it, integrating. Right now, our bottleneck is underwriting, and I hope we're trying to fix that this week. My goal is to have all deals underwritten within 24 hours, just because we have so much lead flow. So that's the goal I'm going for, is 24 hours in the inbox if somebody underwrote it and said yay or nay or more information. So we're working to that, and it's a lot of people, a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of different people's parts, but we're getting there. We're getting there, I promise. It's gonna be good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to tell you guys too. Like, how else could we build a machine like this, right? We went from spending $10,000 a month in marketing to zero, and now we have more lead flow than we can handle. So that's why it's called a hive mind, right? We're going to rely on the community to help us work these leads, do deals. By the time you know how to run a whole subdivision by yourself, we can appoint you, in front of that subdivision, get you paid on that, right? So we're trying to share the love, but if you don't come to these calls and learn the game, we can't trust you with that kind of stuff just yet. But ideally, we want everybody in this room to step up and be a leader and help us work deals, work leads, run phone calls, send out offers, all that kind of stuff. Everybody in this room should be raising capital, ethically and legally, right? So you can't go to Facebook and say, hey, we need money. We'll give you back a 20% return or 50% return. But just post about what you're doing. Say, hey, I was on a call tonight, buying hundreds of acres of land. Ask me how we're doing it, invite people to the call. Like, get yourself out there, let people know what you're doing. I post a lot about what we're doing, the kind of numbers we're doing. And I feel like a lot of people might take it like, oh, these guys are always bragging, but all I'm doing is I just have a loudspeaker. What's that tweet you sent me today, Daniel? Like, if you can get attention, you can get money.
Yep. If you can get attention, you can drive traffic. And here's the other thing: you can steal other people's traffic. So one thing I'm noticing is that you can hop into other people's groups and hijack their deals. So I think not necessarily hijack, but partner or co-JV. So you can, if you see something that other people don't see, you can get in front of it and get paid too. So it doesn't necessarily have to be your leads, it could be other people's leads too.
Yeah, I think the biggest benefit here, guys, is that we have the lead flow. You don't even have to have a marketing budget anymore, right? We're making MLS offers. Nobody's buying this stuff other than us. So if you're putting in the times, you're putting in the hours, then we're talking to you on a regular basis because you're out there making offers, right? Go out there, make the offers, see what happens. Offer creative, offer something down 10%, 100%. Like, just go out there, make crazy offers. Hit us up. If we're too busy, we're going to push you to somebody else like Trenton or Mike or Junior. Daphne's doing really, really good now. She just locked up her own contract. So Daphne went from helping us sell the properties to getting her own contract, I would say like in 6 months or something. And she's gotten a lot of checks. And she's a 22-year-old kid. She just turned 22. So, I mean, literally, if you're out there doing the work, you have the financial support, you have the legal support, a lot of stuff that we didn't have when we first started. So we hope you guys are proud to be in this room and we're trying to share the wealth. A lot of gurus are out there like, look what I'm doing, look what I'm doing. And they don't tell you how to do it. They don't tell you how to get involved. They definitely ain't offering you no money. Right. So we're trying to wrap around you and give you as much support as we can to make you guys successful. And I don't know what else we could do to make it better. And if you guys have any ideas, you can share that with us too.
I got a question real quick.
Go ahead, Jim.
I know you guys kind of mentioned that there's some people in the group that we could probably reach out to if need be. Would some of y'all that's in the chat, would you be able to throw your information in there so we can all maybe try to get together and do something?
Make a post inside the group. You'll see what happens.
I have. So I had probably about four or five people respond. Nobody else responded.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's people right there. There's
Let's
Junior.
go. Oh.
Yeah. And also, guys, like if you need help, right, post in the group and post a specific question. You know, we say, hey, guys, I have a seller. The dude said he'll take 10% down. He said he'll give us 30 years, no interest. I don't know how to close it. I need help. You know, hey, how much should I offer this guy down? And somebody will step up and ask it. If everybody's busy, it's been a few hours and nobody's hit you back in the group, ask again. Say, hey, guys, still need somebody to help me with this thing. You know, somebody will step in there and grab it.
Yep. Yeah.
I actually have a
Go ahead,
Michael. Daniel.
Go ahead.
I have a point to make on that too. When you're making offers, one of the important things is closing time. We need time to close these deals. I got one the other day and they wanted to close it in 30 days, and that's just not enough time for us to do our due diligence on that. So usually 90 to 120 day close. If you're not sure, then just ask us and that way you know what to offer, and you know, we'll kind of help you guide you along the way.
That's Mike Flores right there, guys. Let me tell you a little story about Mike. I talked to him probably about 3 years ago or something. 4 years ago on the phone, it was like midnight or something. And I didn't hear from him for about a year, year and a half. And a year and a half later, he comes back and he's like, hey, I got two or three leads for you ready to go right now. You want to go drive a property? I'm like, yes, let's do this. So he went out there, he did the work, didn't ask a lot of questions. He went out there and put the work in. So you don't need to keep getting more and more and more information before you take action. You know what to do. You know what the offers look like. You know what they sound like. And then so now Mike, he's been hanging around us for a year. I see him almost every day sometimes. And he's out there making offers. He's out there doing the work, making phone calls, making follow-ups, writing contracts. I mean, the dude's on fire. I mean, he's a completely different guy than the guy that I met, a year ago. He's not the same guy at all. He's a completely different person. So, you know, it's like, does our system work? Can it be taught? Can you learn? Can you benefit from the information? Mike's a living, shining example. Like, he's my stunt double. I was going to say he might work more than me, but I doubt it. But he appears to be working more than me. I mean, the guy's on it, super on it. So you put in the hours, and it might feel like you're not making any progress for a month, 6 months, 9 months. But if you're stacking the hours and stacking the hours, eventually the momentum starts to come back in your favor. He went to title company to go do something. I don't even know what he was doing there. And he's like, hey, they said there's a check here for me. I'm like, yeah. He goes, what's this for? I was like, I don't know. I have no clue. You know, I don't know. I don't even remember where he got paid from. So it took a little while to get there. But, you know, today, yesterday he told me, he goes, man, I'm going to start looking for my own deals, and hopefully I'm taking down my own deals too. And I said, good, I'm going to lend you the money, right? So we want you guys to evolve. It's not like a brokerage where we want you guys to stay under our thumb for the rest of your life. Hopefully you get out there and you build a team of 10 or 20 people and you're out there running it too. We're still partnering with you. We're still lending you the money.
Yeah. The biggest thing, and this is for our goal, is to become the lender. And if you work with the lender at any point, usually the lender works with people that I have a relationship with that understands their methodology. That's the biggest thing a lender looks for, your track record and methodology. So literally us, we're teaching you our methodology because we're going to lend on that methodology because that's what we fund. So that's the biggest thing. So we want you to have everything you need that we didn't have. We didn't have all this stuff when we started, I'm telling you. We really didn't. We've been striking stones for 3 years in a row. 4 years in a row trying to spark a fire, and now the fire's here, you know.
Hey, it hurt, man. A lot of times it really hurt. You know, we go all in on a deal and throw in our only 100 grand or only 200 grand, and that's all the money we had. And then the money gets locked up and it's tied up in there for 6 months or a year. You know, we're back to zero again. Like, we got land, we got deals under contract, but now there's no operating capital to keep going. You know, so we know what it feels like to lose sleep and feel sick to your stomach and be mad at yourself and frustrated, embarrassed in front of your spouse. You know, like we know that feeling all too well. So if you're on this call and you're like, well, I don't have any resources and I don't have the time those guys have, you know, bullshit, you know, because we were in pain too, you know, but you push through it. You know, that's why we talk about, like, you need to have supernatural abilities. Like, you need to pray, you need to meditate, you need to drink green juice. You need to work out, you need to do breathing exercises. Like, you got to get your body in such good shape that you can put in the hours. Right. I'm a pretty heavy guy. Like, you know, I'm pretty stout. I've always been like a bodybuilder type, but I got a fat belly on me right now. Right, because I haven't been sticking to my diet and working out correctly. But I'll tell you what, I'm riding 20 miles on the bike, and I'm walking around the block 7,000 times a month. You know, I'm moving my body, I'm keeping that energy up. Because if not, if you're putting in this many hours, you're gonna die. You know, die of a stroke or something. But you gotta make sure your body can take the abuse that you're gonna put it through. You know, so that's why, like, fitness and all that, like spirituality, is a big part of what we talk about. Because if you're stuck in the mud, there's a way to get out. I promise you, there's a way to get out. And nobody's stuck.
Yeah, no one's really stuck. It may seem like you're stuck, but you're never really stuck. There's always a way out.
Like always. I said, now you got at least leave. Now you got a team in here. You got people you can reach out to, ask questions. You got experience. You got counselors. You got legal. We can get lawyers involved. We're suing a few people right now. We're going to sue some more, hopefully this year. So you got everything you possibly need out of a company, but now it's just up to you. Are you going to do the work? Yes or no? And you're the only one that knows the answer to that.
Hey, can I ask a quick question about partial releases before we close tonight?
Of course.
All right. Okay. So I made an offer on a property up in Michigan. It was like 26 acres. And I just, shot over an offer, like a 6-month balloon. And I even offered 20, it's only been on the market like a week. So I offered 20% down to about $50,000. And I came in about 10% below their asking price. And she said that they, and this was just an offer via text. And I talked to the agent on the phone. She goes, yep, they like it. This is a trust. She goes, I'm letting her write it up. Told her we'd make sure that she got paid. Like you guys said, I told her she'd make, I told her that of the $50,000 down payment, her commission is going to be like $20,000. And I just wrote in there that it's like, you're going to get paid. Your commission would be paid out of this down payment. So she seemed fine with that. But then I got to thinking the partial release, just since I hadn't done that before. And she's going to send the contract over, I think, tomorrow morning for me to review and sign. So what I was thinking, I know that the partial release language, as far as like when I subdivide it and go to sell the parcels, that will be in the deed, the promissory note or the deed of trust. My question is on the offer, does that need to go like maybe in special provisions that I am going to need partial release? I don't want to get this offer signed and then for whatever reason, oh no, you can't subdivide my property and I'm not going to release these parcels.
Absolutely. Yeah. We used to write it in the special provisions. And then, as time went on and you start making lots of deals and offers, we were told by legal to not put it in special provisions because it even says on there, don't put legal things in here. So when it comes to partial releases, that's kind of a touchy area. What happens if you don't perform? What if the seller changes their mind and they don't want to sign the partial release? So we have our attorney draw those up for each one. I think it's easier to spend the $400 or $800 to have your attorney draw it up. That way there's very detailed language in there. Because what happens, like I said, you're ready to sell your property, you're ready to go. Hey, I need a partial release for this 10 acres. And the lady's like, I'm not going to sign that. So like you said, it's better to get all that up front.
Yeah. So what kind of document is that then? Is it just as far as when you're submitting that purchase offer, even if I were to have an attorney draw it up, is it just called an addendum to the purchase contract or?
Usually when our attorney draws it up, he has his own version of the contract. So he doesn't use a track and then add an addendum. He'll draw up his own contract and there's detailed language in there that says, the seller agrees that buyer has the right to get partial releases of lien, as the property is sold and developed.
And what I would do is I would draw off what part you want. And this is for Texas, you can cut off 10 acres without going through the county. So I would roughly meets and bounds it based off of what part you want. And then that way, whenever they sign that, they're releasing that part whenever you close. Because you're going to have to get a survey to cut that off the property.
Right. I just didn't know that I would need to do any of that, when I'm just submitting an offer, but you're thinking that I might need to.
It depends. It's okay. So this is let's say you have 100 acres and you're putting $10,000 down, or let's say 100 acres, 10,000 an acre, it's $1 million. You're putting $100,000 down. You want 10% of the property free and clear. Well, you got to designate what part of the property you want free and clear whenever you put that $100,000 down. And then you got to make sure and I would have put that with your purchase sale agreement. I would kind of add it in, like Anthony said, after they send the purchase and sale agreement, hey, I want to throw this in as an addendum and have your attorney. Is this Texas or another state?
Michigan.
So
yeah, I would just, as long as they know what you're doing up front. And again, this is why I ask you guys to just set it up to say, look, I know how to get the money out of this property. Let them know that it's not a steal. Hey, if it was a steal, we would close tomorrow and give you all cash. But if you're trying to do a seller finance or partial release, yeah, just let them just explain to them, reiterate, hey, this is what I do for a living. I'm a professional. I know how to get you your exact dollar amount, and just let them know that it might sound a little strange. Say, look, even if it sounds like something you've never heard of before, remember, we do this all the time. Don't worry about it. I'm going to help you navigate it.
So yeah, I would just let them know up front what you're planning to do, and it's a pretty easy thing. So here's your biggest rejection that you're going to get is the seller is going to say, well, what if you sell off chunks of my property and you don't finish and you guys don't do the deal? Say, sir, well, you know, if I'm going to give you significant amount of capital up front, I don't intend to lose it. Right, I haven't lost money yet in real estate, and I don't intend to do it today, not with this property at least. But you know, if I'm going to give you a significant amount of capital, I promise you, I'm going to perform. Remember, I'm a professional. I'm not an amateur. It's not my first time ever doing this. So, you know, I promise I'm going to help you navigate it, even if it sounds confusing. And I know why you might think that, but, you know, I'm going to help you get to the other side. No problem at all. But I know why you would think that. And probably what we would do furthermore, so you feel a little bit more secure, is we'll start from the back. I'll start working on the back. I'll sell the ugliest piece first. And I want to work from the back to front. So that way, worst case scenario, you get all of your money and you still have the best part of the property.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really sell your ugliest piece first?
Absolutely. Yeah. Right now we just closed on that 243 acres. We sold the very, very furthest back corner that you can get with a little piece of flood zone on it.
And that's to cover, everybody's butt, because like, not that we don't want to perform or we're not going to perform. It's just that if we, and we disclosed to her like, hey, we're gonna sell the back part first, because if anything, you get the best part back whenever we don't perform. So you always want to, if you're going to do that type of strategy, you always want to make sure you don't want to get sued in the back end because you sold the best part.
Look, guys, I sold timeshare for about 3 years, and we've learned like the black magic of sales. This is another reason why we don't lowball sellers, is because we know how to convince people to do things, right? So it's like we're never going to use that superpower on anybody. But sales 101 or 301 type stuff would be where the seller saying like, hey, what if you don't perform? Like, sir, you have to make them feel like that's the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard. Like, you know, I'm not intending to make you an offer where I'm going to be out of business by Christmas. I have kids. I have a family that I love. You know, we have a pretty nice house. I'm not going to make an offer that's so ridiculous, and I would even use the word ridiculous, that I'm going to be out of business by the end of the year. So if we start this deal together, I promise you I'm going to finish it. Like, I would never leave a property like that. I mean, it's just, even just hearing that, you know, sounds kind of crazy.
Never have and never will.
Yeah, just make it sound so ridiculous. Like, sir, I can't believe you just said that. Right. And there's, I'm saying it with like a little bit more forceful just because I want you to get like the feeling. But, you know, we would never talk to a seller like beating them up like that. And in some cases you have to, but that's a whole nother conversation. But for right now, in this particular instance, it's just like, sir, that's so ridiculous. I can't believe you just said that.
Okay.
You know, what's funny about that is I was negotiating with a realtor, and that's kind of what I negotiated with her. And I didn't know if that's something we would do or not, but it just kind of made logical sense. And I was like, we'll sell everything off in the back, because the guy's fear was we would leave him with a checkerboard of properties.
Yep.
And I told him, no, we'll just sell everything in the back first. And then once we sell all that, we'll just start moving to the front.
That's it. Yeah.
I was going to say, I hear a Pace Morby says it all the time. He says, you just got to have that godlike confidence. And that's really all it is. Like, sir, don't be ridiculous. Like, I'm here to help. I know what I'm doing. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you about this property. I got 550 leads on my spreadsheet, and you're just the first call of the day. So, you know, if we don't work something out on this one, no offense, I would love to buy the property. That's why I'm calling you, but I'll follow up with you in a few months. And you could even mention to them too. Here's something that I want you guys to understand. If you're selling something, right, you're trying to convince, right? You're trying to convince them or use these dark sales tactics to make them say what you want them to say. In our business now, what we've evolved to is we're just educating. Here's the best case scenario. Here's a decent scenario, and this is typical how things go. And this is worst case scenario. Walk them through all those steps. We teach them about wholesaling. We teach them about all this other stuff, you know, fraud in real estate. Where the more you talk to them and the more you educate them, you give them the confidence to make the decision to do business with you. Why? Because not only because you're educating them, but you're building trust, but you're telling them where all the holes are. Here's what's going to happen, sir. You said you got three offers on your desk right now. Oh yeah, I got three offers. Everybody wants my property. I know mine. You said mine's the lowest number, right? Oh yeah, yeah. You need to come up a lot higher than that, because I got way better offers than that. Why don't you take any of those offers?
Well,
I'm just trying to see what I could get for it. Here's what's going to happen, sir. You're going to continue to shop your property out, and you're eventually going to step on a snake. What's going to happen is somebody's going to contract your property. They're going to say, hey, I need 3 to 6 months to a year to 2 years. And at the end of the time, when it's time to close, they're not going to close. And you're going to have lost 2 years of your life, and who knows how much money. So what I tell you, here's what I'm going to do. All those contracts that you have on your desk, ask them if they were going to send you a check for $10,000 the day you signed the contract, the same day. Did any of them say that?
Well, no, that's yeah. Here's what they're going to tell you. They're going to say, that's not how it works. And the real estate's not like that. If they start to say things like that, they're not a buyer. Take all those contracts, place them into a garbage can. The day you sign the contract with me is I'm going to send you a check. I'm going to perform. I'm going to close when I told you I'm going to close, period.
Yeah. And then I had an agent ask me, well, can you send me some recent contracts or deals you've done recently? Absolutely. And I sent him an email with contracts and HUDs that we closed recently. And then they know we're a real buyer because you just knocked out everybody else. Anybody that's playing the edge game, like, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure if it's a deal, you just kick them off the table.
And ask them. I got two offers right now, and I'm going to take either one of those. Why haven't you taken those? Either one of them. Just curious. They're higher than mine. They might be real offers. I don't know if they're real offers yet, but you say you got the offers in your hand. Why haven't you taken those? Let's see what they say. Just be quiet.
Yep. You say your point and you go silent and you wait till the silence is deadening where they have to respond and put their foot in their mouth.
And then at the end, you say, yeah, if they're not going to give you a check the same day you sign the contract, and I say it exactly like this word for word. I would take those property, all those papers, I would make them in one stack and I'd place them into the garbage can because you're going to step on a snake. You're going to run into the wrong person. They're going to try to get you.
Like, have you ever been sued for non-performance? Yeah, it's
That's
awful.
all it is, guys. Educate the sellers. We're not trying to trick them. We're not trying to talk them into something. Educate them. Let them know what's out there. Let them know what could happen if they do business with somebody else. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no rules against that. So you're gonna run into problems. I promise you. The more you push this property out, you're gonna start to attract the wrong kind of attention to your property. And you use little phrases like that. You're not saying it's scary. You're just casually saying it. Like you're gonna attract the wrong type of attention to this property. I'm telling you right now. I've seen it a lot, especially lately. Lots of fraud out there. And now they start thinking, oh, damn, I'm attracting attention to my property. There's fraud out there. Like, oh, damn, right? So you start planting these seeds of doubt in their head and let them know, like, trust me, man. I'm your guy. Literally, I'm your guy. You go to YouTube, you can see me on there.
One thing I'll say too, and this is kind of the final part. He said it earlier, confidence, confidence, confidence. I did a call with Kyle earlier this week, and man, the confidence it comes off like a punch in the face to the agent and the seller and whoever's listening. So if you're super confident about what you do and how you do it, just overexert that confidence when you're on the call and your knowledge base, and it usually the seller, the agent will be like, yeah, these guys know what they're doing. They have a track record. They have experience. They're doing other deals. And you can really kind of punch them in the face and kind of get them to do what you need to do and what you need them to do.
Like who's familiar with the term third party credibility? Raise your hand or put a one in the chat if you've ever heard the term third party credibility. Show of hands, anybody? Not a lot of people have their cameras on.
We had a lot of ones. We had a lot of ones. Felix, Zach, Jeremy, Jason, Junior, Edward, Michael gave us a
Let's
two.
Okay, perfect. Look, let's say you're the this is your first day of class and you got a little propeller hat on, right? You sit at your desk and you've never done this before. You call a seller and they say, "How do I know you're the real deal? How do I know who I'm dealing with? How do I know you're not a scammer?" Sir, if you want to know who our company is, can you have a pen with you? Oh, I don't. Can you grab a pen? Can you grab something to write with real quick? You start to turn it around on them now, right? So you're recapturing control of the conversation. Can you grab a pen real quick? I'm gonna ask you to write something down. Oh, hang on, let me grab a pen. So they come back on the phone. You say, look, write down the word hive mind, HIVEMIND, and go to YouTube. Those are the guys I work with. That's our company. That's what we do. That's all we do every day, all day. Every when at
Hive
first,
mind, hive mind land.
yeah, hive mind, and then land, and just type that into Google or YouTube and see what happens. And those are the guys we work with, right? So that's something that you want to talk about. It's like you don't have to be an expert. Even if this is your first day, you could lock up a $5 million ranch tomorrow, right? And if they question you, if you don't sound confident, they smell blood. Like they do, right? These guys are rich and savvy, these sellers. You just tell them, look, I'll tell you exactly who we are. Go to YouTube and check it out. If you like what you hear or if it makes sense, call me back. We want to talk about your property. That's why we reached out to you personally. And say, give them a chance to get off the phone. You don't got to close them on the phone. You're not going to close a $5 million deal on the first phone call. I just say, look us up. If it sounds like there's might be a low level of trust here just because you maybe you've gotten hit up by a lot of wholesalers, a lot of people that aren't serious about buying the property. I'm feeling a kind of a slightly low level of trust. If you write this down, go look this up on YouTube, and then if you want to do business with us, call me back. Even though you're not in the video, you're using third party credibility, right? So you can go from in your very first day of class to getting a deal tomorrow by leveraging us.
So how do you prioritize a deal that you have in your hand? How do you get in front of us where your deal goes to the front of the line and we write you a check tomorrow? Make the offer. You found a property. The guy wants $2 million. You know he wants to sell it. He says he's willing to work with somebody. Make the offer. Say, sir, here's what we do. It's listed for $2 million. We offer roughly about half, and I don't want to insult you or make you feel bad. That's what usually about where we start, because by the time we improve the property, we put in a significant amount of property. We got to hold it. We got to pay taxes. There's a lot of stuff, profit, right? We're not doing this for exercise. We're doing it. I say that all the time too. I say, sir, I'm not doing this for exercise. I'm trying to make a little bit of money here. So just tell them, we're doing this as a business model. So if we're going to give you just cash tomorrow, you want me to take the cash out of my family's bank account and then wire it to your bank account? You know, there has to be a significant reason for me to do that. I need some kind of motivation to wire the money out of my family's bank account and send it to yours, right? There's a lot of risk involved with that. You know, maybe my kids won't have something to eat if this project fails, right? But right now I have the cash. I'm very safe. I'm very protected. So if I wire the cash to your account, there's got to be some kind of incentive. So I'm going to have a lower offer than probably what you're used to hearing already. And then I'm going to make you a second offer. The number that you're asking sounds a lot higher than we'd be willing to pay cash for it. So I have an idea though. I think I can get you the full asking price, but I need to talk to my partners real quick and I have to get back with you, but I think I can get you the full asking price. I got an idea, but I need to confirm this. So I'm gonna have to call you back. And that's it. Make them the two offers. One's low and one's full price with some kind of financing terms. If you set it up that way, you're going to get more yeses than no, because we get yeses almost every day now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you get a lead, yeah, don't just send it to us and be like, I have a lead. Make the offer, make the crazy ass offer. The worst they could do is say no, and then we come back in with a second offer. That's it. You can't mess it up. There's a saying that says you can't say the wrong thing to the right person, right? And that's exactly the philosophy here. You say, oh man, I messed up. You know, the guy's pissed off. He hung up on me and he screamed at me and he said the F off. Bam. Now Bill doesn't call him back. Now Jay calls him back. Come in the other door. And they start all over again.
So I'll tell you how to get our attention really quick. I have a such and such deal with 10% down. That'll catch our attention every time.
Yeah, if you send us an inbox message that says, hey, I got a guy on the phone. He wants $1 million. He said he'll take 10% down and the rest in payments, or the rest in 24 months. Guess what? You're going straight to the phone call. You know, everything we're going to do, we're going to stop. We're going to get on the phone with that seller and see if we can close them right away while they're hot. But if you call us and you send me an address and you're like, the guy wants $1 million. So? What did he say? You know, and then if you say, hey, this looks like a good 10-acre subdivide play, put some ghost ads out. What is a ghost ad? A ghost ad is it's a post on Facebook Marketplace. It's not on your stories. It's not on your personal page. It's on Facebook Marketplace. And you post an ad there with a very vague description. You cannot market a property you don't have under contract. You might get in big, big trouble. I don't know how legal or illegal that is. But you post an ad on Facebook Marketplace. It says, hey, 10-acre tracks by this highway intersection, these two streets. And I want $199, right? You know, you're getting the property for $10,000. We shoot for a 2X. So you buy it for $10,000 an acre. We're going to try to sell 10-acre tracks for $20. If the guy wants $14 and stuff selling for $16 in the area, don't even send it to us unless it's some kind of creative deal, zero down, something crazy. You know, post your ghost ads. If you send us a message that says, hey, I got a 10% down deal. The guy says he'll finance it for 30 years. He didn't mention anything about interest. And by the way, like somebody sent us one this week. I got like 40 messages over the weekend. Ding, 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 ding. That property is going straight to the front of the line. So that's the order of importance. You send us an address, it might just get ignored. Make some kind of crazy offer. Get them to say yes. If they say no, put them on a follow-up and call somebody else until you get somebody to agree to our basic terms. But if they just want $5 million cash, need to close in 60 days, like, don't even send it. You're just clogging up the system. Work something out where they're going to give you some time. Like, sir, that's a lot of money. Nobody's buying in this market. I think you know that. I think I can get you all your money, but I'm going to need to work something out. We're going to have to figure out how I can get you the money. It's going to take me a little bit of time. I had a guy, he says, I said, look, I can get you the money. He wanted $6 million for like 125 acres with a mansion on it and a 20,000 square foot barn. And it even had partial oil rights. And he said he wanted $6 million. I said, look, sir, I can get you the $6 million, but it's going to take me about 24 to 36 months. And I'll give you about $500,000 to $600,000 in your hand the day we sign paperwork. And I'll get you the rest like in a year or two. Oh man, I can't wait. I can't wait that long. Now it's been like a year, 14 months. And I messaged him. I said, hey man, can I go out to the property and take a look at it again? Yeah, come by my office. I'll give you a key. Right. So he already knows what I'm after. He knows I'm not paying cash. He knows I want to work something out. It hasn't sold for a year. I'm going to revisit the property now. Right. And now the guy trusts us. First, he wanted to meet us out there. You know, he wanted to see who we were. Now he knows who we are. Here's a key to the place, to a $6 million ranch with a mansion on it.
right? So you build the relationships, you be cool, you be calm. Don't worry about it if they don't take the offer right now. You know, just remain. We're all human, man. I made a video on YouTube. I should post it in the group. It's called How to Build Scary Rapport is what it was called. Something like that. Look up my name, how to build scary rapport. And you're just using all these different phrases. Like, look, sir, I'm the expert. I know how you feel. I know exactly what you're thinking. I already know you talked to a bunch of people and they probably told you this. But I'm just telling you right now, I'm an expert at this. I have my backbone, my company that I work with. It's a strong company. They're very public. They have a YouTube channel all over TikTok. So these guys are experts, and I promise you, you're in good hands. I know, don't worry about it. They start asking these crazy questions. Don't worry about any of that. I promise you, I'm going to take care of all that. I know exactly how you feel. Those are all trust building phrases. So if you feel like you're losing the person to trust, that's not the time to keep on going and negotiating and talking about the property and making the offer. They might stonewall you because they don't trust you. And they say, I want 6 million cash. I just want closing 30. I don't want nothing, right? Because they don't know who the hell you are. But if you say, sir, usually when somebody's like, oh, I just want my cash. I just want to close in 30 days. I felt, you know, I think maybe some people might every now and then, maybe somebody really means that. But for the most part, when I hear somebody say that, I feel like maybe there's like not exactly an established level of trust here. You know, you can find us on YouTube. You know what I'm saying? So usually when somebody's, oh, I just want in and out, because you don't want somebody to take advantage of you. But I promise you, the way that you're just getting more offers and more offers and more offers, somebody might try to take advantage of you sooner or later, right? But I'm not going to let that happen to you. I'm on your side. I'm a professional. This is what I do. I'm going to take care of you. We're going to make this deal happen. I promise. I do this all the time. So you say those little trust phrases like that, and slowly but surely you start chipping away at them. Slowly but surely you start chipping away at them, and then bam, they decide to do business with you. Look, sir, I don't need you to say yes right now. I don't need you to say yes to anything, but I'm going to send you two offers. One's going to be for lower cash offer, you know, if you need the money right away. But if you want full price, I'm gonna have to think about it. But I bet you I can think of a way that I can get you all the money, but I'm gonna have to get back with you. But I'm gonna send you two offers. I'm gonna send you one for low cash, and the other one's gonna be I don't know what I'm gonna do yet, but I'm gonna structure it in a way where I'm gonna try to get you the full price that you're asking. And that's it. You don't have to give them everything on the first call.
Over time, Jeremy Harlow says, do you normally make two offers? Yes, we always make a low cash offer and a seller finance offer, and then
make at least two offers. It took me four to get to that $2.8 million 400 acres. Four yep. offers, right? And they I was so pissed off already because I'm tired of making them great offers, you know. And I'm not a hothead, I don't usually get mad, but this guy frustrated me already because they shot down everything I threw at him. I even offered to overpay. Right. So I was already done with these guys, but we just threw one last Hail Mary, the ugliest offer we had made yet. Bam, they bid on it.
So I had a lady hang up on me today, an agent. So I'm going to personally call her in 6 months and make the same offer. So that's where the fun begins.
I can call her tomorrow if you like. I'll make a lower offer.
Hey, I'll give you the number. Don't tell
me. I got you. I got you. But can I add a quick minute to the time? I know we're getting there, but
yeah, I know. Yes, but real quick before you go on, I was going to say dead serious. Right. So if you guys get shot down by a seller, don't be afraid to have one of your colleagues inside of this organization or another go back in and make a retarded offer, a stupid offer. Just go in there and make something like an offer that embarrasses you to make that offer. That way, at least you're anchoring the person in their mind. Like, come on, sir, your head's in the clouds. Like, you know, you want 10, it's worth 2. Come on, let's be realistic. Right. So you're not lowballing them for the sake of just hitting them with the lowball to maximize profit. We never do that. But if their head's in the clouds, you know, you got to bring them back down to reality a little bit. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes we send in a second face. So when this offer on this 400 acres, I made the first offer myself, and then I disqualified myself immediately when I got the guy on the phone. I was like, look, man, I don't want to wait because there's no way we could do seller finance. I said, I don't want to waste your time or mine. That's the only way I can buy this property. You guys have a nice day. I ended the call like in less than 2 minutes. Hung up on the realtor, the seller, everybody. So I extracted myself from the deal, and then we sent Mike Flores in to make an offer. Then I sent Trenton in to make an offer. So, you know, sometimes you got to play the field a little bit. Go ahead, Bill.
Sweet, appreciate it. But then I guess I'm getting close to this one deal working with Mike. I followed the instructions, as you know, called city. And then as far as the, to get the, it has water on the property. I know Daniel said it's at 20 acres, right? It was 30 minutes south of Fort Worth. Of course, let's say the minimum for a septic, they said it 1 acre. And then of course, minimum for well is 2 acres. So I know Daniel said we could maybe break it up to 2 to 10 acres. I ran ghost ads and for only 5 acres and 10 acres, but it got pretty hot. Most people went for the 5 acres. It got like, I don't know, 30 or almost 40 messages. But the goal is the smaller we break it up. Of course, the more profit when we do the entitlement route is the goal, right? For something that small, it's only 20 acres, it's not that big.
Yeah, so by the time you're going to have to go through the entitlement process, this is how you make an overpriced offer, right? Let's say that the guy wants a million. We're going to offer them 1.3, right? But it's going to take me 36 months to get you the money, right? So I'll pay you to wait, pay $100,000 a year to wait. But this is how we have to do it. So by the time you go below 10 acres and you're going to do 5-acre tracks, you might as well do 1-acre tracks or 2.5 or whatever you can get away with in the area.
Yeah. You go for max density, max approvals to get whatever max ROI you can. And usually for stuff like that, you don't need to run ghost ads. And this is a great question, and everybody that's still here, if the plays entitlements, you don't need to run ghost ads because it's going to take 12 months to produce it and the market's going to change anyway.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, and chances are if somebody wants to buy a 1-acre track today, I mean, you tell them it's going to take a year. They might not want to buy. So, but anyway, if you know you're going to take the deal down, I would leave the ghost ads up anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, but make sure you're comping 1-acre lots or 2.5-acre lots. So if it's 100 acres, 100 acres is only selling for $8,000 or $10,000 in that area. What are 1-acre lot selling for? Or 2.5-acre lots? Ooh. Or 5-acre lots, right? Because you know you're going to bust it down. So, yeah, you can run the ghost ads if you want to see, like, what's the maximum profit you can get there. But if you're in an area that's in demand, you're 15 minutes outside the city like we like, right? That's like kind of the kill zone. Mm-hmm. You're gonna be able to sell those smaller lots easy, especially if you're working in Texas by a city with over 1 million people. If you get a lot of people, guys are sending us deals out in the middle of nowhere, 2-3 hours from Dallas. Like, I don't even know who would buy that. I don't even know if there's people there. We saw one this month or this week that there was a population of 18,000 people. I don't want to throw $1 million at a ranch if only 18,000 people are in the buyer's pool. Go closer to a city where there's 1 million people.
Other thing I'll say to that too is that you can oversell the properties, especially something like that. So if they don't want to wait, you can overpay the sellers to wait for their pricing. As long as it makes sense, you can look at the comps for 1 to 2 acre lots. And if it's a 40 acre deal, I mean, you can get 20, 30 lots out of that easily. And you can pay them if they wait. Like, we can pay whatever price if they wait. That's the biggest thing. We can pay whatever price if they wait. As long as they wait, offer more. I don't know. That's a crazy offer, in my opinion. If they want a million for 100 acres, offer them 1.2 to wait a year. Then we turn that into 90 lots.
Yeah, so check that out. The crazier their price is, the crazier offer you have the right to make. If they have the audacity to post some crazy price, then you should feel proud to say, hey, I think I can get you that amount of money. Right. And the price, you know, the price is ridiculous. And don't forget education. Teach these guys something. You're not trying to scam them. This is not wholesaling houses. Right. We're not trying to lowball grandma to make an extra $10,000. There's no need for it in this business. Right. So what you do is you let them know, hey, sir, based on everything I've seen around there and all the, you know, I do this professionally. Based on everything that I've seen happen around you, it seems like you're about double or triple priced of what stuff's going for in that area. Yeah. Yeah. But they built an apartment complex up the street from me. Yes, sir. So get an apartment complex, you throw about 500,000 at it, maybe a million worth of engineering, and then there's a chance that it could get shot down. There's no guarantee that you can get that same apartment complex just because somebody's up the street. So I know where your head's at. I totally get it. It sounds amazing. I would do the same thing if I was you. But for the amount of money that you want to get, I would have to put some money into the property to the tune of 500,000 to a million. I'm willing to put that money into the property and get you your full $6 million. But to tell you the truth, I'm gonna invest a lot of time and energy into this property, and I don't know if I'm up for it right now. So let me do a little bit more homework. Let me see if there's a way that I can think of to get you that whole $6 million. But if you want cash, I'm liking about half of that. I'm liking $3 million. Oh, I'd never sell for that. No, sir. That's why I said I'm gonna try to get you the full six. Let me call you back. Damn, I'm in with your seller finance offer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one last mini question. So generally, before, I know subdivide was only a minimum of 10 acres, but now since we're doing entitlements, we go smaller so we can get a higher ROI is the goal, right?
Yep.
Okay. Gotcha. More time, the better.
Woo. More time, the better. Make a crazy offer.
Think about this. Think about helping people first. Don't be a profiteer, right? I'm a capitalist, but I'm also not like a vulture. So think about this. You want to make profit, but we're not coming in like wholesaling houses 101. You know what I'm saying? We don't need to scam anybody or take advantage of anybody. You come in as a consultant, right? If you're going to do this business for long enough, you're going to become a multimillionaire. You could probably stack $100 million in this business in 5 to 10 years, realistically, especially if you're going to start from our platform. So there's no need for you to cut anybody's throat. You come in as a consultant, as a professional, and as a specialist. And so what you're going to say is, look, I cannot pay you what you want for this property. If you can, we can, right? We just make a cash offer, done, close it up. But if they want too much, if they're not willing to negotiate, you know, it's a badass property, you know, you can make money here, and let them know that. Say, you know what? I look for a very specific property, sir. I've been doing this for a long time and I'm pretty good at it. I like this property. I think I can make it work. But I'm going to end up putting a lot of time and a lot of capital into it. So position it that way. Is I have the knowledge and I have the cash to get you paid exactly what you're asking without lowballing you. Let me think of something. I'm going to have to think about it. But I think there's something that I could piece together where I can get you your full asking price. And that's it. We come back in and pitch seller finance without ever using those words. And you get the deal every time.
And you can overpay if they wait.
Look, sir, I'm telling you right now, your property's listed at 2.5x of cash value. You're way overpriced. With that being said, I know how to get you that amount of money.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, guys. Stay prayed up. Go do cool things. Make some money. Help people, man. Help people. You'll make a lot more money.
Man, this call was fire.
All right. Have a good night, guys. Bye. See you next week.